Now I'm on. Oh, hey, there it is. Hi, everybody. My name is Mark. Those are my lovely parents back there. They're great. Say hi to them afterwards. They're here to pick up my sister at the airport, not to see me. But they are great, and they are prayer warriors, and without their prayer, I would not be here today. So let's jump into it. How about that? We're going to look at Luke 17, and Eric is going to talk about Luke 18 in a little bit. But Luke 17, 11 through 19. And I'm reading from the NIV 84, which is different from the NIV. I found that out recently. All right. Everyone ready? Yeah? Luke 17, 11 through 19 says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we can have to learn from your word. I pray that you would speak tonight, that together, me included, that we would learn from you and open our hearts to receive your word. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. In your name, pray. Amen. All right, how many people have heard this story before? Yeah? Okay, that's what I thought. I'm going to tell it in a different way. How about that? All right. So we find Luke, our Dr. Luke. It's like 60 AD. And he's collecting stories for his book. And he's heard different stories from Peter and from John and James and Matthew and all of them. And he's heard other little stories here and there. And so he's collecting all these stories. And he hears this story about this leper. And so Luke goes. And we find him walking down this village, walking down the street in a village near Jerusalem. And he finds the house he's looking for, and he knocks on the door. And a man, an old man, in his 50s or 60s. Just kidding. No, he probably was in his 50s or 60s if it's 60 AD. I'm not saying that's old, but at the time, that was old. And he says, "Can I help you?" And Dr. Luke says, "I hear you have a story about Jesus. I would like to hear it." And so the man begins his story. And it turns out when he was a younger man, he had a family, a wife and kids. He had a mother that he had to take care of, got to take care of. He went to temple. He faced some discrimination from the Jews because he was Samaritan, but that was part of being who he was. So he's a man, and he has these dreams. He has dreams of seeing his kids grow up and becoming functioning members of society and supporting his wife when he was gone. And he has dreams of maybe owning his own business and that kind of thing. And so one day at work, he cuts himself and he doesn't think anything of it. He puts a bandage on it. Week later, the cut's still there and it's kind of festering a little bit. A week later, he notices that he's kind of getting some other cuts and some sores and that kind of thing, and he gets a little nervous. And so he decides he's going to go see a doctor, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you know, I think you have leprosy, which is just, it's bad. I mean, at the time, there wasn't a cure for leprosy. In the last 20 years, 15 million people have been cured from leprosy in our time. At the time, there was no cure. He just lived as a leper. And so he goes to the priest, and the priest at the temple says, well, these are the things you have to do. And so he goes and he washes himself for 8 days. And he comes back and he's not better. And so he goes out again. He comes back and he's not better. And gets expelled from the community. He can't live in the town anymore. He can't see his family. Can't see his kids. Can't support them. He can't fulfill his responsibilities. Meanwhile, the disease is getting worse. The ends of his fingers begin to be deadened, and his toes and the sores kind of get worse, and he's putting bandages basically everywhere. And he's living as a beggar outside of the city, scraping together barely enough money to buy food from a passing vendor. And this is his life. It's a non-life. I mean, he's basically living as a dead man. He has no responsibilities. He can't see his family. He can't see his kids. He can't go to temple. He can't do anything. This is his life. He's a dead man. He's walking dead, but he's not a zombie. Kind of looks like one, though. Sorry. So he's got all these sores, and he's having trouble walking. And he's in this leper colony, and they begin to hear these whispers and stories of a man who's going around from town to town near Jerusalem, healing people. And they call him teacher. They get a name one time, Jesus from Nazareth. And he's going around and he's teaching and healing, and all these people are the blind men, the cripples, everybody. People who can't speak, mute people, they speak. And so, for the first time in a long time, here's our leper who's sick, who's living as a dead man, has no hope. For the first time, he has hope. He has this little glimmer of maybe I can be healed. Maybe this will go away. Maybe I can see my family. Maybe I can go in the city again. And so he goes with nine other lepers, and they hear that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And so they camp outside this city, outside this village near Jerusalem, on the main road. And people go by, no one gives them money. But they're sitting there waiting for Jesus, and they begin to hear whispers that he's coming this way, he's coming this way. People come running down the road saying Jesus is coming. And they see a cloud of dust in the distance, and this big crowd comes along because, I mean, everybody's following Jesus by this time, right? So they're walking towards Jerusalem. And the lepers stand up and they see the crowd coming closer, and they see this one guy sort of in the middle, and people are kind of reaching towards him, and the lepers stand up and they're like, Jesus! Jesus over here! Help us! We're lepers! We need healing! We have nothing! We are broken! Jesus, help us! And of course Jesus hears them because he's Jesus. And he already knew they were there. And he starts to make his way towards them. And, you know, there's some people being like, oh, be quiet, stop it. It's Jesus. He's important. He can't make time for you lepers. But Jesus goes over to him and he says, go present yourselves to the priest. Now think about that. Go present yourselves to the priest. Where do they have to go to present themselves to the priest? To the temple. Where's the temple? In the city. Where can't the lepers go? Into the city. This command makes no sense. He says, go present yourselves to the priest. They can't go to the priest. They can't go to the temple. They can't even go into the city. But because it's their last hope, because they have nothing else, because they are dead men, they stand up and they begin walking towards the city. And they, you know, they have canes and they can't quite, you know, it's hard to walk. And it kind of hurts to move. And they're walking along. And all of a sudden it becomes a little bit easier to walk, a little bit easier to move. And the leper realizes he doesn't really need a staff. And they sort of begin walking faster, and a couple of them start to sprint off, and he starts running after them. And he's running along, and he's like, I'm clean. And he rips off his bandages, and he says, I'm clean. I have no cuts. I can run. I can walk. I'm healed. I'm whole. And as he's running along, he starts to think, I can go see my family. I can go see my children. I can get a job and work and support them and make money. I can go to temple. I can go in the city. Little things. I can sit and watch the sunrise and not have to worry about where I'm going to get my money that day, where I'm going to get food. And as he's running along, he realizes that the reason he's healed and the reason he can run and the reason he's going to be able to go see his family and hug his children is because of Jesus. Jesus is the reason. And he stops, and the other nine keep running. And he turns around and sprints back and falls down at Jesus' feet and says, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. I am healed. I am clean. I am whole. I am alive. I'm no longer dead. You've given me my life back. And Jesus says, was there no one found in all of Israel to? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he says, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Which isn't to say that the other nine weren't healed, but there's a deeper wellness, a deeper healing that occurred when this man realized that it was Jesus who had done this for him, and when he returned to give thanks. So he goes to see his family, and he gets older. His children grow up and become functioning members of society and get their own jobs. And they're going to be able to support his wife when he's gone. And one evening, he's sitting at home, and he hears a knock on the door. And he opens the door, and he says, how can I help you? And the man says, I am Dr. Luke. I hear you have a story about Jesus. I'd like to hear it. So, that's our story. That's the leper. And I know that all of you are intelligent people. You're all able to look at this story and realize some things. And I hope you do. I hope this week you think about this story. But I have a couple things also that I'd like to share. And so I see three groups of people in this story. The first group The first group is the crowd, the people in the city. These people did not see the lepers. They did not see these broken people. They were unable, well, not unable. They didn't help. Here's a group of people who lived on the outskirts of society. And they were cast out. And they sat alongside the roads and begged, and people walked right by and didn't see them. And then the second person I see in this story is Jesus. And Jesus sees these beggars, these broken people, these lepers, and he has compassion on them. Not only does he see them, but he goes to them and he heals them. And he offers them life again. I think this is there's a couple passages I want to read real quick. One of them is Psalm 136. 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And verse 23 says, "To the one who remembered us in our lowest state, his love endures forever." And James 5:11 says, "As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." Jesus saw these people and did not overlook them. He didn't walk by. He saw them and healed them. And he did this over and over again in his ministry. He saw people that no one else saw. And he had compassion on them. And the third person in the story is the leper who gave thanks. He received the command that Jesus gave him and acted on it, and then realized that it was Jesus who had acted, and Jesus who had healed him. So, taking these people, I think it's important for us to apply some of this. Who are the people in our lives that we overlook? Who are the people that we don't see? And this doesn't mean necessarily beggars. It doesn't mean homeless people. It doesn't necessarily mean sick people. It means anyone in our lives who we overlook, whether that's a neighbor, a coworker, or even our own family, our wives, husbands, children, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, parents. Who are we overlooking? And the reaction is Jesus' reaction, which is compassion, and seeing them and being aware of them and acting on that. And then we need to take the example of the leper and give thanks for what the Lord has done for us, for the things that he has saved us from, for bringing us from dead men, dead women, dead people, to life in him. And I think it's important to talk about that, which I think the leper did. He lived his life and shared his story of Jesus. And that's something that we do in the village. We share our stories, right? So I want to share a short story and then wrap up. When I was in high school, I was not a very nice person. I got angry a lot. I swore a lot. I had 6 girlfriends in the first 2 years of high school. And just didn't, I wasn't happy. And my junior year, we started the church that my parents are at now in Mexico. And the pastor, people would ask the pastor, who's going to lead worship? Who's going to play guitar? And he would put his arm around me and say, Marcus, this guy. And up until that point, I had never really done that before. I played at a couple little things in like Bible study, which, I don't know. I had no experience. I had no idea what that meant. And he would say, Marcus. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, all right. And I did. And I ended up being in a Bible study with the pastor and the other people in the music team. And I began leading worship and playing guitar and singing. And that year, I point to as a transformative year in my life, where God really worked in me and revealed things that I love doing now, things that are who I am. And the reason for that is because this pastor saw me not for who I was, but for who I could be. And God used him to pull me into a deeper relationship with Jesus. He saw me. He looked at me and didn't see someone who was broken, someone who was cast aside. But he saw me for someone who could sing and play guitar and worship God and help other people worship God. And I thank God for that. I thank him for the work that he did in me that year through this pastor and through the worship team, and that he's still doing through music. I thank God for that. So, Eric's going to talk about the persistent widow now.
Thanks, Mark. So I'm just kind of Mark's coda. If you're a musician, you know what that is. And so I'm going to take it just a little tonight, a little bit of a different direction and try to hang on to what Mark was saying, but maybe expand it just a little bit. Let me ask you this question. What is your leprosy? Now, for a first century person, Mark described that perfectly. You were outcast. You were dying. You were falling apart. You didn't live long. And all your hopes and dreams are gone. But the thing about leprosy is it put you in a powerless place. Every time you looked at yourself, every time you looked at people, every time you wandered around, you just had no power to change or to heal yourself. So when I ask you, what is your leprosy? What I'm asking is, what in your life do you just feel powerless with? Maybe it's in your relationship with your husband or wife. Maybe it is in your singleness. Maybe it literally is a physical ailment that will not change, that there is no medical healing for, no miracle at this point. What is your leprosy? You see, I like what Mark did. He told us a story, so I'm going to stick with this story. See, Dr. Luke is writing a gospel, which is the story of Jesus, and he's actually, the people who are reading it are people who are being persecuted, people who are struggling, people who are part of this brand new faith, and yet probably just the older people, the ones who were like this leper, even remember Jesus. Most of the people who've seen Jesus are dead. And so it's a new generation of people with just a few guys like the leper. And so as Dr. Luke gets up to leave, I would like to imagine that the leper says, hang on a moment. I have one story. It's an odd story, but it's a story that means a lot to me. And so I want to tell it to you because I think you need to put it in your gospel. I think you need to tell this story that Jesus used to tell. In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8 is the record of that story. Chapter 18, verse 1. This is what I imagine the leper told Luke before he left. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable. Now here's the thing, a parable is a story, and most of the time when a parable gets presented, the writer or Jesus never tells you what the parable means till afterwards. But Jesus and Luke seem to think that we need to know what the parable means right away. He told the parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. The first character in this story is an evil judge. Now, here's the thing that the Old Testament says a judge is supposed to do. He's supposed to follow the law and have great compassion. So Jesus says this is the worst kind of guy. He doesn't follow the law and he doesn't have compassion. Verse 3 says, and there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. He takes the person with whom all of Scripture, the widow and the orphan, all of Scripture says this is the person that God's people are to take care of. In fact, James, Jesus' half-brother, in his letter to the churches says that true religion is taking care of the widow and the orphan. That the way that you practice your faith, you know that you're practicing your faith when you're taking care of widows and orphans. That is part of our faith. So he takes these two opposites. Now, what does this woman want? She wants justice. Now, a lot of us, when we think about heaven, we think that we're not going to have any more tears. We think about this wonderful time with Jesus. And that's true. When Jesus returns, we hope he's going to make all things new. That's what Scripture says. But in reality, what we really want is justice. The leper in the story, he wants justice. And justice is making things right. He wants his leprosy to be gone. Why? Because leprosy is wrong. Right? And when you look and think about the things that you struggle with, the things that you feel powerless to conquer in your life, you may want healing, may be one of the things you want, but in reality, what you want is God to make things the way they were supposed to be. You want justice against your adversary. Because any conflict in relationship, any strife, any physical ailment that you struggle with, ultimately is because the world has gone wrong. Everything is broken. And so we are the widow in this story. And she wants justice. Think about your leprosy. Think about the justice that you want. Verse 4. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Some translations say injure me. Like she won't eventually just start beating me because I won't do what she wants me to do. Right? It's not just wear me out, it's like beat me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So Jesus says, I'm not like the old judge. I'm not like the evil judge. God is a God of rightness, of the law, of goodness. And God is a God of compassion. So if an evil judge will eventually relent to someone who keeps on asking, what will a really good, compassionate, all-powerful God do if you persistently engage him? Now, what we're talking about, and Luke's already told us, is we're talking about prayer. So I'm not going to assume anything here that everyone knows what prayer is. So let me just stop and say that God talks to us through Scripture, and we talk to God through praying, through speaking to Him out loud most of the time. That's what prayer is. Speaking out loud to God. Okay. So what Luke is saying here is that while you and I are oppressed by our leprosy, while we are feeling like we're in a place where we're powerless to change things, we have to remember that we have a very good God and we can't stop engaging Him. We can't stop engaging Him. We can't stop praying. Now, the end part here is kind of odd. It says that when Jesus, the Son of Man, shows up, will He find any faith? Well, what does He mean? I think in our culture, we've kind of lost this idea of what faith really is, because what we think faith is just an assent to certain beliefs, a set of things that are true. But really, faith, if you go back into ancient times, you find out that faith is about trust and engagement. So what Jesus is saying is when I come back, will I find people who believe I'm trustworthy and who are still engaging me in the midst of their injustice, in the midst of their brokenness, in the midst of the things that they seem like they cannot deal with? So the question I just have for you tonight is, in the things that you wrestle with, in the things that you feel powerless to change, have you given up? Do you believe that God is actually trustworthy and is interested in what you have to say and wants to bring justice, make things right, bring rightness to whatever it is in your life? Or have you walked away from relationship with God? Like I said, tonight I'm just the coda on Mark's very good message. So I'm going to bring him back up here. And I want you, just I'm going to ask that question again. What is your leprosy? And have you walked away from relationship with God? Have you, in essence, decided that God's not trustworthy? God's not trustworthy. He's not going to fix it. He doesn't care. He isn't compassionate about me. I'll let that sit for just a few seconds. We have a little bit of time, so if you want to ask Mark some questions, you can ask me some questions. We have time to expand this message, so whatever you want to offer, go ahead and do that. Do you have any thoughts? I want to go ahead and kind of repeat what she said.
Is it on now? Yeah. Samantha was just saying that she had never thought about the leper as someone who had something to go back to, right? Someone who had, from the leper's point of view. And that's really why I wanted to tell it that way. I was sitting in Savaya coffee with my sister, thinking about this message and thinking about the story, and I was like, I've heard this a million times. I mean, what I tried to think about it, well, who are the people in the story and what points of view? And I thought that from the leper's point of view, I mean, this is from the people, it's like, well, why is he okay? He healed this guy. Like, that happens a bunch of times. And from Jesus' point of view, he sees this person, but from the leper's point of view, it's a really impactful story. And I actually wrote a song that we might, maybe, are we playing that one? Maybe. I don't know, we might play it. Not tonight, but at some point. Just because it was such... it was like 3 days straight. I couldn't think of anything else. So. Yeah, I mean, a leper's life would be very simple. It'd be, you go out, you beg, you clean your wrappings, and that's your day, right? I mean, that's all you do. You don't really have to think about that. You don't think about, and I think it's easy to forget that we are lepers. It's easy to forget that we have these things. If it's not something that I think about, I forget that I might lie a lot. I might do other things. I don't know. It's just, you forget sometimes that you have a leprosy. I think that the important thing is that when light is shed on it, and when we take off those wrappings and we see what's wrong, that's the point where being a leper becomes less easy and less simple and more sad and hard, and it's difficult when you think about where you want to go and the things you want to do if you didn't have this leprosy. Yeah, should I repeat that? I think that's a response that we experience a lot, to become hardened to the things that are injustices in our life, and to think, well, I deserve to be healed. I deserve to not have these problems in my life. I didn't do anything to deserve this. And then when we are healed, the response then is, well, okay, yeah, I deserve that. This is, and instead of looking to God and looking to Jesus, we are hardened to the things that we've gone through. And I think that's important to remember is anytime something happens in our life that is sort of an injustice that's become resolved, we look to God and we look to the good judge. We look to Jesus who, you know, the injustice is in the world. It's not in God. But yeah, I think that's a great point.
You. Okay. Yeah, well, that's really good, Karen. Okay. She basically was saying she kind of looks a little differently in that lepers had to deal with their family. Like, the question is, who sinned, you or your family, for the leprosy? And the priests were the ones who said you were clean. And so she was just seeing them as, there was a lot of shame about being a leper and having leprosy. And so going to the temple and being cleansed is a removal of that shame. And that pretty close to what you were saying. All right, we're running out of time, so we're going to close in prayer. I'll let you close in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we can have to learn from you. As we look at our own lives and our leprosy and the things that are wrong, Lord, I pray that we would turn our eyes to you. And I know that as we turn our lives to you, as we turn our eyes to you, that those things become smaller. And we're able to see the people around us easier, Lord. And we're able to love them and, have compassion on them, Lord. I pray that you would this week speak to us through the story even more, through the persistent widow, Lord. That we would continue to learn from you and continue to trust in you, that you know what's going on, and that we would engage in faith, Lord, with you in our lives. Thank you for your message. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen.